What can we do to break these bad habits? Well, like I mentioned, it is consistency, but also to always check ourselves every single day. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Hold yourself accountable before you're held accountable. Meaning check yourselves before you're checked, before the day of judgment, before death comes. And every single day, you know how outside in this society people make New Year's resolutions? We make New Day resolutions every day. It's not the new year, because you never know when your final moments in this dunya are going to be. And so we have to, of course, we're not perfect. And the people of Jannah are not perfect. Allah does not say that the people of Jannah don't commit sins. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. And compete and hurry towards the forgiveness of Allah and a paradise of which the width is the width of the heavens and the earth, prepared for the muttaqin. Now who are the muttaqun? الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء. Those who spend in times of ease and in times of hardship. Now who are the people who spend in times of ease and hardship? They're the ones who are consistent in doing good deeds. No matter what the situation is, they're always generous and they're always consistent in doing good deeds. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who hold back their anger, meaning these are people of strong determination and people of strength mentally they're strong. And they can hold back because the person who is strong, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, isn't the one who is able to out-wrestle another. It's the one who is able to hold back when he's angry. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who are forgiving, who forgive others. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And those, surely Allah loves those who do good. I mean, they're consistent in doing good deeds and they're also forgiving, meaning they are a people who have good relations with other people and they are forgiving. And that's why Allah forgives them also. For those who are forgiving to others, Allah is also forgiving towards them. And so, but sometimes you might say, how can I forgive someone when they have said this and done this to me? And sometimes it is difficult. You go to sleep and sometimes you lose sleep over things that people say and do to you. Sometimes say to us or do to us, we lose sleep and sometimes we don't want to forgive them, and deep down inside, ooh, I'll see you on the day of judgment. Right? You might say, Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshaAllah. But it's always better to forgive. But sometimes it's difficult. Then how can you forgive? Well, I'm going to give you a tool or something that we can do, a mindset that we can have. Whenever you have a grudge or someone has done something to you and you feel it, you find it difficult to forgive them, I want you to think about this. I want you to say to yourself, if I forgive such and such a person, I will have Jannah. Because the people who forgive are the people of paradise. Is Jannah not worth it? Or do I want to keep this in my heart and lose sleep over it? Do you want Jannah? Is Jannah not worth it? Hopefully, inshallah, Jannah is worth it no matter what has happened to you. To learn to forgive, learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will make mistakes. And Allah says, والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله. Those who, when they commit a lewd act or they commit a transgression or oppress themselves or wrong themselves, I mean by committing sins and by wronging themselves, they remember Allah. The first thing is to remember Allah. And then, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And they ask, fa, here, it means quickly. They quickly, immediately, ask forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who is there that can forgive sins except Allah? And then the key here, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they are not persistent in what they do or what they have done knowingly. That's the key. So what does that mean? It means that a believer can make a mistake. But a believer never falls, is never bitten from the same snake hole twice. You can make a mistake, but we are not bitten from the same snake hole twice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يلدغ مؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. A believer is never bitten from the same snake hole twice. So let's say, for example, you sleep and you overslept and you maybe were late for Fajr. You say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So you go to sleep the next day, it shouldn't happen again. The next day, you should take precautionary measures. You should set the alarm, whether it be an alarm clock that you have or your phone, to set that alarm. And let's say, okay, that does not work. And it happens again. Well, do something else. Do not take it lightly and do not let the exact same thing happen to you again. Make sure, and it might happen again, but don't let the same reason be the cause, at least. And that's why, what do they say? What's the definition of insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Like, change. Do something else. If you've fallen because of this is causing you to commit a sin, then you have to take the proper steps, or at least plan to take the steps to correct it. It's, you know, you might make a mistake, but at least learn from your mistake and think about the causes. And sometimes, you know, one of the reasons might be because you're with bad company. And so sometimes you have to let go of those who pull you away from Allah. And sometimes you have to make drastic changes. For some of us, maybe it's just like a butterfly. You know, a butterfly sometimes takes, you know, starts with a cocoon and you think that's the end of its life. It goes into, what do they call it? Worm? Not worm, but caterpillar, right? The caterpillar. And it goes into the cocoon, and you think that's the end of its life, but then it breaks out of it, and it flies. But then at the same time also, there's a struggle there. If you want to kill a butterfly, then help it get out of its cocoon. So if you were to see the struggle and you open up the cocoon so that the butterfly can come out faster from the cocoon, you have just killed the butterfly because it will not be strong enough to fly, because that struggle that that it has to take to break out of the cocoon is strengthening its wings. And so sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us with some trials and tribulations. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tests us with something, we should never lose hope nor give up. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Never lose hope in the comforting mercy of Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah except for disbelievers. Now why is it that one who loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah is a disbeliever? Why is that the case? Because one who loses hope, it's as if he's saying, Ya Allah, you don't know what I'm going through and I can't handle what I'm going through. A'udhu billah, how can you say such things? But to lose hope, that's exactly what, that's what you're saying. But you have to understand, Allah knows what we're going through. Allah knows what we're going through. And He knows that we can handle it. Because He will never burden us with anything we can't handle. He will never burden us with anything we can't handle. And sometimes He wants us to be stronger, and He gives us no option except to be stronger so that we can be stronger. And so how can we be stronger? It's all about consistency. And when you abandon a bad deed to follow it up with a good deed, and listen to this hadith here. It's a beautiful hadith to help us abandon bad deeds and to make that to be strong in determination. It's the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, in which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it's a very short hadith, but so much benefit can be extracted from it. He said, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Have taqwa. Fear Allah and have taqwa in Allah wherever you may be. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةُ تَمْحُوهَا. And follow a bad deed with a good deed, and it will erase it, erase the bad deed. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with the people with the best of manners. Very short, but let me explain to you why it's so powerful. Ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Have taqwa wherever you are. No matter where you are, have taqwa and be conscious of Allah at all times. That's between you and Allah. And you're going to make mistakes. But if we make mistakes, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? And follow a bad deed with a good deed, and it will wipe it out. This here is a key to abandoning bad habits. Because if you abandon a bad habit, you leave a vacuum. You have to fill that vacuum with a good deed, otherwise the bad habit will come back. That's why you follow it up with a good deed. If you've repented from listening to music or watching haram, maybe videos, or you're addicted to certain types of movies, Hollywood and Bollywood and the likes, you might say, you know what? Astaghfirullah, I'm going to leave it. But if you're going to leave it, first and foremost, the repentance has to be sincere, because there are some people who they say they've repented and then they put away the movies and the CDs and the DVDs in a box and they put it up in the attic and said, Astaghfirullah. But why did they put it in the shoebox? Because deep down inside, in the back of their minds, what if I change, I go back? I mean, those videos were very expensive. I spent a lot of money on it. You know, if something happens, let's go. And so it's as if they have repented, but they have kept the bad habit within an arm's reach. That's not sincere repentance. Sincere repentance has to be accompanied by the conviction that you will not, never ever return to it again. And you, what you should do is just destroy it and get rid of it so that you don't even have the opportunity to go back to it. And that's sincerity. And then what are you going to do? Well, what the time that you used to spend doing those bad deeds, what should you do? You should spend it in doing something else. Don't just say, okay, that's free time for me. Alhamdulillah, that's free time for me. No, fill that time with good deeds. With the recitation of the Quran, watching beneficial videos of lectures, or you like to watch videos, yes, there are videos that are very beneficial instead of those movies. Now, instead of listening to music, change it, put Quran, put, and if you have to, a nasheed that are permissible. I mean, if you have to, it's okay. But as long as you don't go back to that which is prohibited. But fill it up. Otherwise, that vacuum will be filled again with the bad deed. And so, I know I won't take more of your time, but just give me a few more minutes. I'm just going to give you a couple of other examples. And we will end it, inshallah, because I don't want the reputation that I have in Seattle to follow me to Bradford. You know what they say in Seattle? They say, never give a woman a telephone or Ustaz Abdul Bari a microphone. I don't know what that means, but I hear people saying it. But I don't know what that really means. But I don't want that reputation to follow me here. So bear with me for just a few more minutes, inshallah, and we will end it. Now, to make that change, to make the conviction, to make that change, don't just change for the better, but change for the best. If you're going to change, why not change for the best? Because better is the enemy of best. You have to give it your all. There was a person, he was known for his piety and righteousness, a great scholar. Not only was he known for his piety and righteousness, but his nickname was Abidul Haramain. Do you know what that means? Worshipper, the worshipper of Mecca and Medina, the worshipper of Mecca and Medina, Abid al-Haramain, the worshipper of the two holiest cities. That was his nickname. Because of his piety and righteousness, he was very cautious, even in his words. One day he said, I know someone who's so careful with his words that at the end of the week, he knows how many words that he spoke in that week. Because nothing comes out of his mouth except he holds himself accountable for it. Because on the day of judgment, every word that we say, we will be accountable for it. Say, if it's not going to be beneficial, he's not going to say it. Forget about haram. We're talking about mubah, permissible speech here. Permissible, yet if it's not beneficial, that's what the Prophet said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whosoever believes in Allah, whoever believes in Allah and believes in Allah in the last day, in the day of judgment, then let him say that which is good, or let him be quiet. So he was so careful. He said, "I know someone." Al-Imam, that counts as words. That's the kind of person this person is. And so you know what Imam al-Dhahabi, he said? He said, his name, of course, is Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. He says, Al-Fudayl. When he mentioned that, he said, "I know someone." It's none other than himself. But he didn't want to brag. He did not want to say, of course. He says, "I know someone." And Imam al-Dhahabi says, no other than himself. That's the type of person that he was, Abidul Haramain. But you know, he wasn't like that before. There was a time in his youth that he was feared. He was feared because he was so ruthless. He was feared because he was the robber of Mecca and Medina. He was the thief. He was a thief. Not any type of thief. He was a type of person that mothers used to scare their children with before they would go to sleep, if their children didn't go to sleep. And they would mention his name, like, you know, nowadays you have some parents, they say, if you don't go to sleep, the boogeyman is coming to get you. He was that boogeyman. Mentioning his name sent shivers down people's spines because he was so ruthless. But not only ruthless, he used to do this to the people of Mecca and Medina. One day, he said, I was on the roof about to jump into a house. I was on the roof about to jump into a house. And I heard an old man. And I saw him standing up in prayer at nighttime. Now, these guys, they go around nighttime, of course. I saw him standing in prayer at nighttime, crying profusely, reciting the Quran in his prayers. And I said to myself, why is this man crying so profusely? And so he sits and listens to his recitation. And he comes across a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Is it not time? Is it not time for the believers to have their hearts tremble and melt in the remembrance of Allah? Like, is it not? I mean, in other words, is it not time for the believers to repent to Allah, to be affected by the remembrance of Allah? Isn't it time to change? Is it not time? Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, when he heard this verse and this man reciting with such emotions, he also broke down and he cried. And he said to himself, O Fudayl, I think it is time. I think it is time. He jumped from the house. And he's walking and walking in the desert, thinking about his life and what he had done. Thinking about that verse, asking him, is it not time? He says, it is time, O Fudayl, it is time. So he comes to an area where he finds a tent. And there was a fire there. He goes to them and he sits outside the tent and he can see the light from inside and he could hear two people inside that tent speaking to one another. One of them says, you know, we should really get going. We need to keep on moving. We can't stop here that long. The other one says, do you know where we are? We are in an area inhabited by the ruthless Fudayl. I'm not going out at nighttime in this area when I know he's out there. Al-Fudayl, he hears this voice trembling. And he says, the people should not be trembling because they hear my name. They shouldn't. Their hearts should be trembling when they hear Allah's name, when they remember Allah. Isn't it time, O Fudayl, that your hearts tremble in the remembrance of Allah? It is time. So he goes, he repents to Allah. He takes a shower that night, goes to the masjid, and he's praying and he's crying and crying until Fajr. And from that day on, and you know this story, one of the reasons why he mentions this story is because one of his students said, O Imam, when I was younger, I used to hear your name. My mother used to mention things about you. How did you change to be such
a person that you are now. And so he tells them this story. So from that day on, he studied with the scholars of Mecca and Medina. And he didn't just become a regular Muslim. He didn't just say, let me be better. He was aiming to be the best. The best person that he could be. To the point where he became not just Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, but Abidul Haramain, worshipper of Mecca and Medina. So all of us, we are given a new chance every day to be better. But don't just be better. Be the best that you can be. Be the best Muslim. Be the best in everything that you do. And Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You are the best of nations brought forth for the people. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You forbid that which is evil and you order that which is good and you believe in Allah. And right now it's even more important for us not just to be better but to be the best. Because of all this, all the problems that we have around us, people are speaking badly about Islam. The media is bashing Islam left and right. But what can we do as individuals? We always blame the times that we're living in. There's nothing wrong with the times that we're living in. The only thing that's wrong with the times that we're living in is us. We have to be the best neighbors. We have to be the most honest of people. We have to be the most helpful of people. We can't be ordinary. We have to be extraordinary. People look at us as being different. We can't just be different. We have to make a difference. We have to be the best neighbors, the best co-workers, the most honest of people, and the most helpful of people. And if we are like that, it will not matter what BBC, ABC, NBC, especially Fox, they can say anything that they want. Because, you know, as they say, your actions speak so loud. I can't even hear what you're saying. We can drown out all those voices in the media by showing people what true Islam really is. And if we are the best, our neighbors will know. And they will say, you guys at Fox and BBC, CBC, whatever it is, you guys in the media, you're lying. I know a Muslim. I have a neighbor who's a Muslim. He's the best neighbor I have ever had. That's Islam. I have a co-worker. He's the most honest worker in the company. Never checks his personal email. Very honest. Whether we're looking at him or not, I know he's working. So trustworthy. And if we're like that, the media can yell and scream all they want. Your co-worker, your classmates will say, I know a Muslim. That's what true Islam is. I know those guys in the news that they're saying those are Muslims or terrorists and they're doing this and that. No. They don't represent Islam. My neighbor is the one who represents Islam. My neighbor is the most helpful person in the whole neighborhood. I see him walking in the streets, picking up rubbish from other people in front of other people's houses. Isn't that what Islam teaches us? And then the neighbor will come to you and say, why are you like this? And you can tell him, because this is what Islam teaches me. Do you want to know more about Islam? And they will sit and listen to you. And inshallah, they'll accept Islam because they'll see how extraordinary you are. And the least of which is they will not be affected by the media. But everyone here is responsible. We as individuals are responsible. If you're living in this country, you're responsible. We are responsible. We represent Islam in the Muslims. We are at the forefront of the Muslim Ummah. There's no better place for us to live than here. Because we have an opportunity to show people what Islam really is. Every day. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not reality. The Muslims are known for being fraudulent, lying. Muslim neighborhoods are the dirtiest neighborhoods sometimes. We're known for all types of crimes, drugs, all kinds of things. But there is hope, and we can change. But everyone can make a difference. And it starts with us, because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will not change what's in the people. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Until they change what's in themselves. New Year. I know we don't celebrate the New Year's, but I'm just saying a new day. Let's have it a new you. And not just a better you, but the best that you can be. So when we're sitting at home and it's time to pray and the football game is going into extra time, they call it, ask yourself, where would the best Muslim in Bradford be right now? Where would he be? I think he would be in the masjid. Let me be that best Muslim. Let me be that best Muslim. It's time to change. And let it be right now. Not after you get married, not after you make Hajj, not after you finish your mortgage, not after you retire, but right now, before we leave this door, be the best Muslim in Bradford. Why can't we do that? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefit us from that which has taught us. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.